Okay, this evening and beginning with the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And really, you might say that a lot of the context that we're in now begins all the way back in the first chapter, first verse, of chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We're talking about walking, how we walk. In chapter 4, we talked about the attitudes that we need to have in our walk that promote unity. Chapter 4 talked about unity. It talked about the gifts that were given to promote unity. And starting in about verse 17 through the end of chapter 4, Paul talks about our walk, about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And now, what we're going to see in chapter 5 is after the discussion about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, Paul's going to write about and discuss, you might say, practical applications of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And that still deals. These practical applications are all about how we walk in this life. So in chapter 5, starting with verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. After discussing putting off the old man and putting on the new man, Paul writes, therefore, be imitators of God. See, Paul writes that when we put off the old man and put on the new man, we imitate God. And didn't Paul make that same statement about himself? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he wrote, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Yes.
It looks like this is another one of the places where the chapter divisions happen right in the middle of the thought.
Yeah.
He's really continuing what he said in verse 32 of chapter 4, forgiving each other just as God and Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, the imitators of God as the beloved children.
He's saying the when he uses the word therefore, he's arriving at a conclusion, isn't he? Based on everything that he said about putting off the old man and putting on the new, the conclusion is imitate God. And as he wrote to the Corinthians, he told them to imitate me as I also imitate Christ, to paraphrase what he said. You know, Paul is an example of someone. And why should we imitate Paul? Why should the Corinthians have imitated Paul and the Ephesians? He's certainly someone who did put off the old man and put on the new man. Randy, could you read Galatians 1 and verse 13? Yes.
For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and I tried to destroy it.
Yeah, so there Paul talks about his old man, his old life. He persecuted the church. He tried to destroy the church. He wrote to Timothy in his first letter to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 13, that though he was ignorant, he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he was an insolent man. There he describes his former way of life. But as we see in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23 that Paul put on a new man. Notice in Galatians 1 and 23, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us, that was Saul of Tarsus, Paul, now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. So Paul, the person who formerly tried to destroy the church, who was a blasphemer, who was a persecutor of Christians, an insolent man, he became an apostle and a preacher and gave up a life in Judaism, gave up everything that he had been trained to do in this life, to become an apostle, to become a preacher, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So there, certainly, we see how much a change that is when you consider that the Hebrew of Hebrews was the one who took the gospel to the Gentiles. Any comments before we go on, Ken? Yeah. As long as they're following Christ. Okay. So, let's notice, as we discuss, that the new man's character and conduct in Christ is contained in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. Now to walk in newness of life, and that newness of life is based on imitating God. If I didn't count. Correctly, I think this word walk is used 6 times in Ephesians. So Ephesians, as well as having a lot to say about the church, because I think the church and the body of Christ is referenced some 7 or 8 times throughout the book of Ephesians, throughout the letter of Ephesians, the word walk is used some 6 times in Ephesians. So there's a lot of emphasis on how we conduct ourselves, again, to being worthy of our calling. Randy, would you read Ephesians 2 and 10? Okay, so we are to walk in good works. Right. Again, still in the context of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and as Paul would, the style of Paul in his writing seemed to be when he would write, he would construct his writing as not this, but this. Put off the old man. Not the old man, but the new man. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Bruce? Okay. So that Paul there is talking about how that this calling to a new life is actually it's a call to sanctification, a life that's set apart. It's a sacrificial life, isn't it? That's what he's talking about in the 20th verse of chapter 2 in Galatians. Randy, could I get you to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12?
Mm-hmm. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, and retaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life.
Okay. So we walk worthy of our calling. As he wrote in Ephesians 4 and 1, and contrasted with what he wrote in Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Again, walk worthy of your calling, put on the new man, not as the Gentiles. You didn't learn Christ, as Paul said, to continue to walk as the Gentiles. You learned Christ to put on the new man. And notice he describes that old life and that walk and that way of life by the Gentiles in the 17th verse of chapter 4 as being in the futility of their mind. What does that mean? In the futility of their mind. Yes, it does have something to do with it. If they imagine that this life of sin that they're leading is going to profit them somehow. But actually, Paul is saying in the futility of their mind that this life of sin that the Gentiles walk in is vanity. It comes to nothing. It's empty. So now, in chapter 5, applications of being new people in Christ. In this context of practical applications of putting on the new man, putting on the new person, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, that actually continues all the way down through about verses 20 and 21 of the 5th chapter. In verses 1 and 2, we're to imitate Christ in sacrifice and purity to please God and be accepted. In verses 3 through 14, we're to walk in light. We reject self-indulgence in those items that he talks about in verses 3 through 14. Instead, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not this, but this. That kind of construct. And in about verses 15 through 20, 21, we're to walk in wisdom. So we're careful in all things to do the will of God with respect to our time, worship, our thanks to God for everything that He has done for us. So just a little outline of of the first 20 or so verses of chapter 5. So we imitate God as dear children. We imitate God as Christ has loved us. He gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. Christ gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. And in verse 2, it's an interesting way that Paul has of stating here the proposition, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So what would a sweet-smelling aroma to God be? What would that be? Represent? What about the sacrifice? Well, I wasn't thinking about that verse, but... Okay. Oh, there's the word there that I'm looking for, at the very last. Acceptance. Okay. When a sacrifice. Came up to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. Didn't that mean that God accepted the sacrifice? God accepted this offering, this sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Randy, could you read Genesis 8:21? Okay, now that was a story there about who was offering a sacrifice there. Wasn't that Noah?
Noah built an altar. Mm-hmm. And took every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered for an offering.
So God accepted that sacrifice. And Randy, how about Leviticus 1 and 9? And a soothing aroma to the Lord. So that was an example of a soothing aroma representing an acceptable sacrifice to God. Well, well, you know, I never thought about it like that. Yeah. Yeah. And lastly, how about Isaiah 53:11? Okay, so Christ was an acceptable sacrifice to God. For sin, once for all. Okay, so we imitate God by putting off the old man, putting on the new. And one of the applications of this is that we walk in love, just as Christ loved us. Now, so we walk in love. What did Jesus have to say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? Okay. So if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. This is what we do. This is what the new man is about. But Paul says, not this, not self-indulgence, as he starts out with in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. We walk in love, we keep His commandments. We don't walk in self-indulgence. Not in fornication, not in sexual immorality, not in all uncleanness, not in, might say, moral impurity, meaning impurity of lustful, luxurious, I think I misspelled that word. Profligate living. Not with impure motives. Notice Paul here didn't have to list 50 items, did he? He said all uncleanness. Remember, Paul said the purpose of one of the purposes of his preaching to the Gentiles was what he was going to do when he called them to obedience to the gospel. He was going to turn them from darkness to light. He's going to turn them from all uncleanness, darkness. Covetousness, greedy desire. That you give up all this to the extent you go so far. As that it is not even named among you. That's fitting for the saints. You throw all of that away. Kind of reminds me of... in Acts chapter 19, wasn't it the Ephesians who burned all the books about magical arts? Am I remembering that correctly, Chris? Yeah. starting about verse 11 in Acts 19. Okay. They burned. And those books, monetarily speaking, they had quite a value to them. I think at one time I computed into what was then today's monetary value of the silver described, and it was wasn't too far from $100,000 worth of books that were burned. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't burning a $10 paperback book. Now, so we no longer walk in self-indulgence and fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Remember, Paul talked about the new man puts off corrupt speech. So here Paul writes, that we don't engage in the self-indulgence of filthiness, which is obscenity, foolish talking, coarse jesting, speech which is not fitting, not that, but this, we give thanks. Randy, could you read Proverbs 26, verses 18 through 19? Okay. And Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Okay. So there we see a contrast between foolish talking and what? Proper speech. The speech of the new man can accomplish. It's like apples of gold, words fitly spoken. They can do what? Encourage someone. They can draw someone to Christ. They can influence someone to come to Christ. Bruce? So we put aside abusive speech. These are the things that are unclean. Such as coarse jesting, off-color humor, as the sayings go, well-turned phrase, ready at repartee, double entendres, euphemisms. Words and phrases that can have a double meaning, that can have, that are said and can have shady meanings, so to speak. This is not fitting speech for the new man. This is not fitting speech for a Christian. We're going to see why in a verse or two down, but notwithstanding that, as we've discussed, we're what? We're known by our speech. Our speech can destroy our influence. Just like just like the example I used of the meeting that I was in about 4 years ago when the mayor said, don't tell the county, don't inform the county about the results of the lawsuit. They'll never know. We'll just keep the money. And what kind of speech is that? What kind of influence would it have on you if you heard a Christian say something like that? Well, no. So again, phrases, words that can have double meanings, and one of the meanings being as I use the word shady, can have overtones of obscenity. That's the kind of speech we have no business using. Yes. Now that's quite a thought to remember, isn't it? That the words that you've spoken are going to be revealed on the last day. Yes. I mean, you're not going to be able to cover it up. I mean, Bruce. So, fornication, all uncleanness. Greediness, excessive, I guess that wouldn't be proper English to say excessive greediness. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, but rather giving thanks. So these are the applications of putting on the new man and imitating God. It's like Paul wrote, "Come ye out from among them and be ye different." Randy?
It's very similar to the idea back up in chapter 4, verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather, must labor performing with no hands but his goods, so he will have something to share with one another. He says, instead of stealing,
give.
Here, in chapter 5, he's saying, instead of immorality and purity and greed and filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting,
As a matter of fact, you know, Paul did write in his second letter to the Corinthians, going along with what you're saying, what you brought up there triggered another verse in my mind. In the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians and asks them a question: what communion does light have with darkness? That's in about the 14th and 15th verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But the new man has no fellowship with, so to speak, as we'll see later on in the 5th chapter, no fellowship with these acts, with this conduct. David? Yes, it's all about the choices that you make. You can make a choice to be in Christ. You can make a choice to repent and turn and change. Bruce? That's correct. Or like Paul put it, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It's a rhetorical question. It has no fellowship. Light has no fellowship with darkness. Thank you very much.